to the world of business now, and Marissa Mayer, the internet superstar. She was one of the first employees at Google, credited with helping to launch that company into the global behemoth it is today. But in 2012, Mayer made a change. She took the helm at Yahoo, which had fallen from a $128 billion success story to a company valued at just under $4 billion. When Mayer became CEO, employees looked to her for an historic turnaround. Nicholas Carlson is Business Insider's chief correspondent. His new book is called Marissa Mayer and the Fight to Save Yahoo. It's out today. Nicholas, welcome to Here and Now.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So first, what attracted you to write an entire book about a sitting CEO?
So Marissa Mayer is a fascinating person for all of her contradictions. She's considered to be this glamorous woman who is sometimes photographed in Vogue, but in fact she's sort of kind of a geek. She's got this really interesting background where she started out at Google and she was known for making all these very data-oriented decisions about products. But in fact, it turns out when it comes to some decisions, she just goes with her gut.
What was she doing at Google that was getting her so much attention? I mean, if I remember correctly, she was the media darling of the company, the unofficial spokesperson.
Well, the story that I found when I was doing reporting for my book is that she entered Google as a programmer. She was leaving Stanford and she took a risk on this startup and she went into Google and she was going to be a coder. And about a couple months in, she sort of realized that she wasn't going to be a star coder at Google. She realized that she was not world class in that field. And she just realized that she needed to do whatever she could to help Google get where it needed to go. When I was doing reporting for the book and speaking to a lot of people who worked with Marissa Mayer at Google, one of the things that I found that she was best regarded for was establishing this program called the Associate Product Managers Program. And what she really did was she taught Google how to hire. And she taught Google that instead of trying going to go out and hire MBAs and people who really had always wanted to be CEOs of companies to come into Google and try to turn it into a business. She taught Google that the best type of people to hire were people kind of like her. These were people who were technologically interested, who had gone to Stanford and other excellent schools for technical degrees, and then later decided that they might want to enter the world of business. Now, then Mayer went ahead and hired all these people into Google, and she did a very clever thing. This is how she gained so much power at the company. She had all these people spread out into various different groups at Google, and while they still had bosses and people that they reported to for these various different products, they still reported back to her. So she had tentacles all throughout Google. Now, this gave her an enormous amount of influence at Google, but it also made her a very controversial figure inside the company.
Yeah, and in the process of doing that, it seems like she might have stepped on some people's toes. She was run off of a very big project that Google was working on, and I wonder if that had something to do with her deciding to leave, the thinking that she was perhaps undervalued there.
Well, from her earliest days, what I discovered is that Marissa Mayer was exceptionally good at throwing herself at whatever problems Google needed solving. But sometimes there were people who were already solving those problems, working on those problems, and that certainly irritated people. Toward the end of her tenure, Marissa Mayer was competing for influence inside of Google to run the search group. And she actually ultimately lost out to an engineer, and the decision was made by Google's current CEO, Larry Page. And that really left Mayer looking for something else to do. And that's how she decided to look at the Yahoo opportunity.
All right, so let's talk about Yahoo now. And let's talk about Yahoo before Marissa Mayer, because she inherited what could be called a mess. The company had started out as an internet darling, a huge behemoth in the startup era. Could you remind us just how big a thing Yahoo was when it first started?
Well, Yahoo reached a $128 billion market cap within a couple of years of going public. Now, the way it did that is that Yahoo solved a problem that was a really pressing problem. The whole world was hearing about the internet, and they wanted to try it out. But it was a scary place. It was really a place designed for academics. It was for geeks. And normal people wanted to use the internet and the World Wide Web. And Yahoo was a consumer-friendly way to do that. They developed literally hundreds of different web products that people could use. And you could actually, as a consumer back then, this is the late 90s, early 2000s, you could go on the web and spend all day on Yahoo and be perfectly contented and feel like you did everything you needed to do on the web. Yahoo back then had calendars. email, file sharing. It was the internet in some senses.
So what happened to Yahoo after that? Because things quickly started to change.
Certainly they did. And what really happened to Yahoo was that Yahoo was solving all these problems for so many people. It was the consumer-friendly way to use the internet. And soon enough, though, new companies started coming out, and they were just doing one thing and doing one thing really well. The best example that everybody's heard of course, is Google. Google came out and just did search, at least they did for many years. Now they obviously do lots of things. Yahoo was also in the marketplace business. eBay came out and just did auctions. And Yahoo was trying to compete in hundreds of different product categories, and new companies were coming out and just picking it off one by one. When I was talking to sources for this book, they described it, Yahoo's problem as being a mile wide and an inch deep.
So Marissa Meyer comes in, and at first, what kind of impression does she make?
When Marissa Meyer arrived at Yahoo, the company was a complete mess. There's a scene in the book where she's talking to the board members, and she's saying, I want to do this meeting where every Friday we're going to have all of the employees gather and we're going to just update them on what's going on at the company and what they should be thinking about in the future. And the board members and colleagues that she talked to throughout the industry told her that was nuts. It wasn't going to happen. It wasn't going to work at Yahoo because at Yahoo, employees left on Thursday at 4 p.m. and didn't show up again until late Monday morning. The place was demoralized. People were unhappy. They'd been through five CEOs and interim CEOs in the past couple years, and it was truly a mess. And she went in there and she immediately changed the culture. She got the place cooking. Within 6 months, people were staying through Friday evening for these late afternoon meetings.
We're speaking to Nicholas Carlson about his new book, Marissa Meyer and the Fight to Save Yahoo. When Meyer first came to Yahoo in 2012, it was a demoralized and sinking internet giant. The hope was that the star CEO could turn the company around. But Meyer's first major hire, former Google colleague Enrique de Castro, was an expensive mistake. What happened?
When I was reporting this book, what I was shocked to learn is that Marissa Meyer did not vet Enrique de Castro. The board of directors, when Meyer went in and pitched hiring de Castro and paying him all this money, they pushed back and they said, shouldn't we go check around and see what people think of this guy? And she told them, listen, that'll upset his current employers, that'll threaten the hire. And the board said to her, this is a huge pay package. How can we possibly afford to pay this guy this much? And she said, Enrique de Castro is going to more than make up for it with how much he's going to add to Yahoo revenues all by himself. And of course, that proved not to be the case within a year or so, just about over a year, she had let Enrique de Castro go. And it did. It cost the company $109 million.
So clearly a big mistake for her there. But we have to talk about Alibaba as well, I think, because Meyer inherited a very interesting situation where she comes into Yahoo, a company that had invested tons of money in this big Chinese internet retailer that we know went public earlier this year in a huge fashion. But Alibaba ended up being a bit of a double-edged sword for Meyer.
That's for sure. And it started with an investment that Yahoo made in 2005. And you're right, by the time Marissa Meyer took over Yahoo in 2012, Alibaba was worth many, many billions of dollars. And what happened was is that Yahoo agreed to sell a portion of its stake in this investment it had made in 2005 for $7 or so billion. And as a part of that agreement to sell its stake, Alibaba promised that it would go public within a couple years. Now, then you have this situation where the best way to invest in a really hot startup in China, a really hot market, was to actually invest in Yahoo. And what that meant for Meyer was that for 2 years, she was going to get air cover. The people who were investing in Yahoo weren't really going to be paying attention to the quarterly performance of the company. They were more going to be paying attention to how Alibaba was doing in China. So that gave Meyer 2 years to do whatever she needed to do to get Yahoo into great shape for Alibaba's IPO in 2014.
And then, in fact, in the last few pages, you throw down this gauntlet, really, where you bring up this idea that now the pressure is on for Yahoo to merge with a company like AOL because of all of this. Would a move like that make sense?
Well, that's right. So what's happened is that Yahoo and Marissa Meyer did not really get into such great shape after those 2 years. That's sort of the conclusion I reach. And actually, more than me reaching it, it's what some of Yahoo shareholders have reached. And after the 2 years of air cover that Meyer was provided, some Yahoo shareholders wrote her a letter and said, listen, you've made tons of mistakes. We don't want you to have the proceeds of this Alibaba investment that Yahoo made years ago. We'd like you to give it back to shareholders. And by the way, not only would we like you to divest this stake you have in Alibaba and give us the money, we'd like you to go ahead and merge with AOL. And not only merge, but you really should just sell Yahoo to AOL, even if that means AOL CEO Tim Armstrong is going to control the company.
And that would essentially then, if it were to happen, basically make Meyer's tenure a total failure, wouldn't it?
So that's a tough one. The best way to answer that question probably is to go to this speech that Meyer gave in the summer of 2014, where she's looking out at, again, at thousands of Yahoo employees in one of these weekly meetings she holds. And she talks about how when she got there, Yahoo was a slow-moving company that had very few mobile users and even and a hilariously low amount of mobile engineers even. And 2 years later, Yahoo is a much faster-moving company. It's a, the culture is vastly improved. It's a better place to work and they make better products. But the question is that enough? Has that really turned Yahoo into a viable company in the long term? And that's a serious question, and it's not answered yet.
Another thing that Marissa Meyer did at Yahoo was poach really big names, Katie Couric from television, for instance, and other big names in media, and brought them into Yahoo to produce content. In the end, that was a complicated sell, it sounds like.
Well, it's funny. So I heard over and over this one story when I was talking to sources, which was about how Marissa Meyer would tell her colleagues that she was at a breakfast meeting with Anna Wintour, the famous editor of Vogue. And she told Anna Wintour, she said, I need help with Yahoo Shine and Yahoo Media. I would love to run some Vogue content and other content from Condé Nast. And she and Meyer would relay to Yahoo executives the story about how Wintour was just disgusted with the concept of sharing any Vogue content with Yahoo. She said, where would we put it? It's far too lowbrow for us. And the reason I tell this story is that Meyer is very focused on trying to make Yahoo a higher-end brand. And lots of the Yahoo executives that I spoke to for the book were wondering if Meyer really understood that Yahoo is more of a Walmart brand than it is a Vogue brand. And perhaps she'll have some challenges with the media business. Katie Couric is an example of a hire that hasn't really worked out for Yahoo, and it was probably predictable that it wouldn't. Before Marissa Meyer came to Yahoo, Katie Couric and Yahoo were already working together. She had this thing called Katie's Take. And no matter where Yahoo tried to put it on the front page of Yahoo.com, people wouldn't really click on it. They were more interested in celebrity gossip and bargains and political news and sort of fast-moving news currency of the day. But nevertheless, there was this off-site marketing event not long into Marissa Meyer's tenure where Katie Couric was interviewing Marissa Meyer on stage in front of a bunch of Yahoo clients. And after the presentation, Couric pulled Meyer aside and said, listen, I've been working with Yahoo for a while, but I'd like to do something really big with Yahoo. And it really won Meyer over. She went for it. And in the end, they ended up paying Katie Couric $5 million a year. They're still paying her that. But from what I've heard from people who are close to Katie Couric is that she's very upset with how it's going at Yahoo. She's not getting a lot of traffic. And she's thinking about getting back into TV any way she can.
Meyer is a fascinating character. I wonder, do you think we would be as interested in her if she weren't a woman?
I don't think we would be. In fact, let me tell you about how I first decided to really start investigating Marissa Meyer and getting into it. So I was at a wedding in October 2012, and I was sitting across the table from an old college classmate of mine, one that I really hadn't kept in touch with at all. And she said to me, Nicholas, I've been reading everything you've been writing because you've been writing a lot about Marissa Meyer. And this person was not in the technology industry. She was not really at all associated with the stuff that I usually write about. And I could just tell that she was fascinated with Marissa Meyer. And I thought, wow, this is someone that a lot of people want to know about. And I bet it is because she is young, because she's very photogenic, and it's because she's a woman. And she was a pregnant CEO. It's incredible stuff. It absolutely is. Certainly part of the intrigue is the fact that she's a woman.
And do you think she's treated fairly?
Meyer, since her earliest days at Google, like a lot of women in business, was regarded with some sexism. There is no doubt. And in the reporting, you certainly encounter people who have sexist views of her. There is no doubt. Aside from that, she has created enough controversy and intrigue that I believe has nothing to do with that. And it's certainly something that happens to her from time to time, as it does many powerful women across all industries.
So interesting. Nicholas Carlson is the author of Marissa Meyer and the Fight to Save Yahoo. It's a great read. Thanks for your time.
Oh, thank you for having me.